In my reading of the Holy Scriptures this evening, there occurred verse 23, and it said, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." Satan has two roads that he uses for the deception and the damnation of the human soul. The first one is by what I name as skin graft. That is, he tries to operate on the human heart to cover over the plague of sin and to present a view of our persons and our state which is entirely untruthful. But there is a deeper work of Satan, and that is not the work of the skin graft, but it's a work of the sin, of the sin craft. And down deep in the heart, Satan plugs up all light from heaven and seeks to lead the soul down the pathway of darkness, the pathway of the shadow of death, and the pathway of death itself. I want to speak tonight upon the satanic skin graft that the devil uses, and also about the way he uses his sin craft. The gospel is a gospel of light, not of darkness. It's a gospel of truth, and not the gospel of the lie. It is a gospel of exposure and deliverance, leading to salvation and peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. When I preach the gospel, I am urged on by God the Holy Spirit to expose and to blow to destruction the satanic plan that the devil is now engaged in to keep the poor sinner in the state of deception and on the road to damnation. The humanity of the fallen Adamic race is sad because it has been mastered and chained and lies in darkness under the whim and power of the devil himself. Sin in all its forms is the ruin of the human soul. There is a bitterness in every sprig of wormwood. There is salt in every drop of seawater. So there is death and hell and wrath and damnation in every sin that the devil can hasten the sinner to do and practice. Richard Baxter, the great English Puritan preacher, said, "We should use sin as it uses us. Spare it not, for it will not spare you. Sin is a murderer. It's the murderer of all of those that follow it and are deceived by its ways. True, use it as a murderer should be used. Kill it before it kills you. For though it may kill the body, it cannot, without your cooperation, kill you. It may put you in the grave, but it cannot keep you there. Thomas Guthrie, the great Scotch evangelist, said some years ago, a man was returning from Australia. He had had a hard life. He was one of the early gold diggers. But as he stood on the deck of the ship to carry him back to Scotland, the land of his birth, he had with him the gold that he had discovered in Australia. And he was packed with bags and with the cover over of his spoils. The night that they were to finish and end the finish in England came on. But that night, a great storm took that boat and broke it in many pieces. And when the light dawned, there was nothing but a scene of horror, death staring all passengers and crew in the face. Pale men and women weeping over their children. Feeble and timid men wailing because they were about to be drowned. But a stout, brave swimmer with trust in God and disencumbered of all impediments might even reach the shore where hundreds stood ready to rush him through the boiling surf and save him from those waters. One man on the deck was seen after struggle to get to the ladder down to where his berth was. When he came back, he was twice the size that he was when he left the deck, for he had brought all his gold back from the place where he had been using for sleep. He stood there, he looked at his gold and his silver and his precious stones, and he looked at those that were being swept into the cauldron of the storm, and he saw them tied down in the water by the spoils that they had tried to rescue from the drowning waters. And as he looked at them, he said this: I would far better be saved and be poor then die surrounded by my riches and be lost for eternity. And after pausing for a second or two, he started to take off the various pouches and the various packets that he had tied to his body. And as he piled them up He scanned them for 2 or 3 seconds, and then he hurled them overboard, and then he cast himself on the waters, and he was rescued. And as he stood on the shore, he said, "I am the poorest man on this beach." But he said another way, "I'm the richest man, for I have my life." There is only one thing that really matters: your life in the great eternity. Fairest flowers soon decay. Youth and beauty pass away. But I have not long to stay. Be in time. Some people are eager to tell you about their past sinful lives and sinful living. Of those they should be ashamed. Instead of glorying in the past of sin, they should be weeping for the fact that they were caught up by the power of the devil. I myself hate to hear a man speak of the experience in the days of his sin with delightful pleasure. There's nothing delightful about sin. There's nothing pleasing about sin. Sin needs to be brought to the cleansing blood of the Savior of the cross. It needs to be cleansed away by the grace and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when it's thought upon, we should not glory in it. We should weep over it. And we should confess our sinfulness and our wickedness and the shame that we think well of ourselves when we had turned our back on Christ and on His love for us. What we need to do is repent and believe the gospel. But from the work that we're called to do in exposing sin, rejecting sin, and separating from sin, we must face up to the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior of sin. Today, the devil is doing his work right now in your heart, my hearer. And what is the devil saying? He's saying sin is an accident. You don't need to be really worried about it. What does God say? God says sin is an abomination. There's a great difference between an accident and an abomination. What does the devil say? Your sin is only a blunder. But God says your sin is blindness. It has made you blind. It has left you blind. And if you don't seek the pardon and the healing of Christ, it will send you into the place where no light ever comes, the darkness of a lost, undone eternity. The devil says to you tonight, with great strength, oh, sin is upon you just by a chance. But God says, no, sin is not a chance. Sin is your choice. You made a definite choice that you choose darkness instead of light and hell instead of heaven. That's the choice. The devil comes and whispers in your ear, sin is only a defect. God tells me that sin is a terrible disease, and when it finishes, it bringeth forth death. Man will tell you, and the devil's crowd will tell you, oh, sin is a mere error. No, it's not. Sin is not an error. Sin is evil. In its heart, there is nothing but the blasphemy against God, against light, against righteousness, and against hope, and against peace. Oh, says Satan, as he whispers in your ear, sin is only an error. No, sin is evil. Its heart's blood is evil, and its domination of your guilty soul as an evil thing. Popular entertainers tell us sin is fascinating. God tells me that sin is fatal. Man says it's only a common infirmity. God says sin is infamous. It's not a mere mistake. It is rather madness. Sin is the soul drowned in its own lunacy and heading down a road of darkness to the place of eternal darkness, the darkness of a lost sinner's hell. The devil says sin is a trifle. God says, no, it's no trifle, it is a tragedy. Man says sin is weakness. God says sin is wickedness. What's your choice? What way are you going? Down or up? What is the end of the journey to you? Is it heaven or is it hell? Where will you be in eternity? Before I came to this meeting tonight, I received some news about a dear friend of mine. And unfortunately, death seems to be stealing up upon him. And as I thought upon this subject that I had planned to preach upon this night, I thought of the fact we are going down the valley one by one, with our faces towards the setting of life's sun, down the road that all must walk, we are going down the valley one by one. Are you going down the valley in the darkness or are you in the light? Are you going down the valley with the hope of God's gospel peace in your heart, and the God, the the blessing and help and hope of God's pardon in your soul? Or are you going down the valley in the darkness and in the shadow of death? What is your attitude to eternity? Do you just shake your shoulders and go on into the deeper darkness of your sins? Or do you intend to repent and believe the gospel? The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Savior's blood to plead. And at dark Calvary, there was one who became the sin-bearing Son of God. He was spotless. He was pure. He was God. He took upon him human flesh and came on a great journey from eternity to time, in order to give his life a ransom for the many. The prophet tells us he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and by his stripes we are healed. Dark Calvary, dark Golgotha, dark Jerusalem felt the pain of what was happening to the man on the tree. What was happening? He was dying for you and for me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. He died to set me free. And having borne the whip and the wrath of God's holy and unspotted law, he cried out, "Finished!" And the work was done. The price was paid. Reconciliation was declared. And on the third day he arose from the dead. And across this world there sounded, since Adam's fall, a message of hope. Hope in Christ. Pardon, peace, and life everlasting. Him that cometh unto me, he says, I will in no wise. There are no circumstances that you can mention will keep you from Christ if you're willing to come to him. He has settled your debt. He has drunk up the cup of darkness and the cup of torture and the cup of the vilest tempest of the damned for you. And you can go absolutely free, saved, transformed, regenerated by grace alone. The invitation is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I trust today you will not go on down that broad road. You'll not persist in damning your precious soul. You'll not turn to the darkness of sin, for it's so short a time you'll have, and I'll have. Eternity is hastening to us. Death is running towards us. The grave and eternity is before us. Sinner, heed the warning voice. Make the Lord your final choice. then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. I trust you'll not be found on the hills of damnation, but rather you'll be found at the hill of salvation, that you'll wash your robe tonight and make it white than the blood of the Lamb. Christ is here. His Spirit is here. His Word is here. The Gospel is spoken here. The invitation is to you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and by his stripes we are healed. Pray that simple prayer. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flows from Calvary. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank thee for the old time gospel message. We thank thee that Christ came into the world to save sinners. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, you yourself drunk for us the darkness of eternal hell, that we might have the brightness of the eternal heaven. And we thank thee that the doors are wide open. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, your Son is saying. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. May souls tonight seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Hear this simple prayer for Jesus' sake. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with us all now and forevermore. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.